soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, Sounding the Alarm, on November 14, 2018. Jesus answered questions of his disciples regarding the last days, the end of this age, the signs that he was describing, and of his coming. And in Matthew 24, verse 33 and following, it says this, "So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Sudden unawareness wasn't expected. Great catastrophic judgment that launched people into eternity, into the bliss of darkness, where the worm dies not, the fire's not quenched, and there'll be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There's many texts, but I think we should look at what Jesus was referring to, the days of Noah, recorded in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and lo, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with the violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall you make in the ark, and you shall pitch it within, without, with pitch. And this is the fashion which you shall make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall you make to the ark, and in a cubit shall you finish it above, and the door of the ark shall you set inside thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall you make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with you I will establish my covenant, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall you bring into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto you to keep them alive. And unto you of all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to you, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." We're told in Hebrews 11:7 that God warned Noah of things not seen as yet, and he moved with fear and prepared the ark to the saving of his household. What we see here is many things about the earth and it's being created by God himself. And when God looks at what he has created and how it's been corrupted, how that phrase was repeated over and over, the corruption before God. God is incorruptible. He's holy. He's perfect. And he's called his people to be perfect through Jesus Christ. It was so horrible, so bad, that God said, I'm going to destroy it. And he gave command to Noah, explicit instructions. And that's why I read it. Because it says at the very end of this chapter, Genesis 6, that Noah did according to what was commanded him. And so he did, which is reiterating the fact of his obedience. Obedience to what God commands. I was thinking about this the other day, and I asked a friend of mine, what if Noah wouldn't have obeyed the Lord? What if he would have substituted the instructions of the ark? Would he have been saved? Or would he have perished with all the other disobedient? Today, the earth is filled with violence. It's increasing, and it will become worse and worse and darker and more corrupt. And the Lord is using these times to refine his people. And people are having to decide. They're in the valley of decision. Will they follow the Lord? Will they follow man? Will they obey the Lord, or will they disobey? And we have, in the realm of religion, we have people building today, just as they've always been building since Babylon. People use God, but disobey God. They take his word, but don't do it. They take his word and they pull it out of context, weaving within their corruption of the scriptures a false garment, a false light, a false philosophy. It's for people to be disciples of Jesus Christ, to sit at his feet, to receive the spirit of truth and be taught of the Lord. It's up to us to know the Lord, to know his spirit, to know the real Jesus, and to know the true gospel that comes from God and not from man, not from a school, not from a stage of performers, but men that know the Lord and serve like the Lord. Paul said this. Paul had something tremendous to convey to people. And this is in Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul's referring to the circumcision of ritual, of cutting the flesh, of men that would glory in the devices they accomplished on people's flesh, putting their mark on them, whether it was a Sabbath or whether it was a ritual of circumcision, a religion of religiosity, of words and commandments of men that was indeed corrupted. They were dogs, evil workers. Paul says, beware. We worship God in the Spirit. The hour is coming, Jesus said, and is now that the true worshipers of God will worship God in spirit and in truth. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Praise the Lord. And Paul says, though I might also have had confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in his flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, the ecclesia, the true assembly of the Lord, the people that God had bought through the blood of his own son, that were bonded together by the Spirit. This is what Paul was persecuting, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. and that I might be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. There's a contrast here. The contrast of religion of man and the kingdom of God that's by faith, and the righteousness of God that's wrought by faith that's in Christ Jesus. Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's Paul's desire. What's your desire? What's the desire of the religious leaders leading the people today? Do they talk like this? Do they desire like this? Paul says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Paul's saying, and he's said this before, you know my manner of life, how I lived holily, blamely, justly before you, not chargeable to you, not a burden, giving you my life. I even worked with my own hands in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Acts chapter 20, three different citations there where Paul worked with his own hands, though he was an apostle sent by Jesus Christ indeed and truly and verily. But to set it as an example, and yet who follows his example in the church world today? Not that it's wrong to give to a man of God as you desire. God loves a cheerful giver. We're just seeing the contrast, Paul saying, the things that were behind when I was in with the dogs, when I was in the cutting of the people's flesh, when I was so stupid and deceived, I was killing Christians, thinking I was serving God. I was teaching doctrines, the commandments of men, and I was ripping off even widows, as custom was. I'm pressing to know the Lord. I need to know him. I'm going to go through his sufferings, that I may go through his resurrection, that I could walk in newness of life. That's what Paul was pressing for. He never lost sight of it, and he told us that we should be of the same mind. Not being God's enemy, not loving the world, not being disobedient, not loving our own life. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, many, Paul said, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. I was thinking this morning about there are many, many, many enemies of God. God says, I count them my enemies. They are my enemies. They talk of me, but won't do one thing I tell them. I call, I knock, I speak, and they will refuse to hear, the Lord says. We're not talking about the obvious enemies of Satanism, of other religions, of false gods. The enemies are those, the wicked, that talk of God, honor God with the mouth, but their hearts are far from him. And they even teach for doctrines the commandments of men. And they turn aside, lay aside God's commandments, so that they can hold to the traditions of man. And they reject his commandment in order that they can take the commandments of men, and they receive these false doctrines. And it is like people that eat fast foods and artificially seasoned foods and altered, genetically modified into where people have their taste buds changed and they can't even handle a pure organic food, yet alone people that have sat under the leaven and chaff false doctrine cannot take the true word that's pure. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. Paul said, our conduct, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Praise the Lord. Been sharing with a few here and there that are as disciples, seeking the Lord, receiving understanding, receiving illumination of the true state of the religious world, the church world, as here we are in the last days, and as we've read what God said about the earth with its corruption, its wickedness, the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually, where God was so grieved that he even made man, and he found a righteous man, perfect in his generations, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. And God was patient while the ark was preparing, 120 years. And we're in a similar situation as it was in the days of Noah now, in these days, or have many things that will be telltale signs that the Lord has told us that we will have eyes to see it and we'll have ears to hear it and understand and to perceive the severe dangers of the greatest being deception. Complete lies being taught as if they were true. Even people using the scripture, using the Bible, but injecting falsehood within it, and it's called leaven. And Jesus said, beware, take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees, which was their doctrine and their hypocrisy. And in 1 Corinthians 5, their immorality in the assemblies, the meeting places. And with Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Zephaniah, the false prophets giving a pseudo word, a frivolous, silly, lighthearted word when the people needed to hear a true word. And Jesus, the faithful witness who will not lie, as Proverbs 14 says, tells the people the truth in these different assemblies in Asia. He knows the true state. They could think they're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but Jesus knows that's altogether completely a lie. And he gives the counsel, tells them what to do, how he tells them, you've left your first love, you're lukewarm. And this is the thing, we need to have ears to hear what the Lord would tell us. Just as a person that would go to a medical doctor for a checkup, or because there's a malady or a disease or a disorder, and the doctor will give a prescription, prognosis, and tell you, you need to stop certain behaviors. It'll kill you. You're going to die early. There's certain things the Lord would tell his people. But they're being lied to by false leaders, blind guides, blind leaders that lead the blind. They're given a false gospel, a false message in the name of the Lord even. Ezekiel spoke of this. Jeremiah spoke of this. Isaiah spoke of this. This is Jeremiah 23, verse 9. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord, because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both Prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, says the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. The word of the pseudo-shepherds, the false prophets, the false apostles, this whole thing is a cabal, a coordinated effort to deceive the masses. It's part of the agenda, a snare that will take the whole world. The whole world drinks from the cup of iniquity that the mother harlot Babylon gives. The whole world is deceived by this iniquity of disobedience at the command of the Lord to hear his voice. It's sold in their bookstores. You think a true prophet, a true man of God that's going to tell you to lay down your life, to hate your life in this world, you think that's going to be on the top 10 sellers? No way. You think these people that would declare the truth of righteousness and faith and purity before God will stand with presidents? Obviously, when the whole world speaks well of you, so did their fathers, the false prophets. But when all men speak evil of you because you've done the will of the Lord and you've spoken that which you've heard from the Lord, and they persecute you, so did their fathers of the true prophets. The false prophets, the false teachers, are seeking to link all the religions, all the groupings of people into a net of ecumenicalism, of universalism. It's an agenda. And if you've not sought the Lord, if you've not obeyed the Lord, you deserve to be taken by it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, God said. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. They lie. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? Who's perceived and heard his word? Who's marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from the evil way, from the evil of their doings. There's one of these texts that it's right there in your face, like knowing a tree by its fruit. That the one that speaks of himself is not genuine, but the one that seeks the glory of him that sent him is genuine. Right there, right there. The one that hears the word and receives the word is of God. He that rejects the word, will not hear the word, is not of God. Right there, simple truth. If we really sought the Lord and really heard what the Lord is telling us, He'd show us the wickedness that's going on in the false, corrupt religious system. Like Eli, a blind, fat man, leader of the false religious system, and his sons that were taken of the fat, the best of the sacrifices of the people for themselves, and were sleeping with the girls, abusing their responsibility of leadership. The Lord has brought that down for a new righteous priesthood in Jesus Christ. We're all priests unto the Lord in Jesus Christ, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, where Jesus Christ, as the chief shepherd, the chief bishop, the chief apostle, the prophet, and he reveals and shows us all things that he received of the Father to those that love him and keep his commandments. Praise the Lord. There's absolutely no surprise. The Lord gives us ears to hear and to understand. The Lord gives us eyes to see and to perceive. And he changes us, washes us, cleanses us, empowers us. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. It's all about forgetting God. You can't really know God, they say. You can't really know his voice. You need us, they say. You need to come to our church. You need to buy my book and my CD and my programs. They cause the people to forsake the fountain of living water for the broken cistern that they hewn out. They can't even contain water. The Lord said, is not my word like as a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, that use their tongue and say, he says. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, and saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. Listen. Consider these things. Get before the Lord. Seek his face with your whole heart. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of life, pursuits of this world. Lay it down. Because a true snare is arriving. It's encircling, entangling the masses of people, both secular and religious. But if they had sought the Lord and heard his voice and received his counsel, the true word of God would have called you to put away these things, to be washed, to be cleansed, to learn to do good, to do right, care about people, your neighbor. And as you've done unto your neighbor, so you've done unto the Lord. The time is short. There's only so many sands in the hourglass of time. And the day will come when the music will stop and you are where you are. You are what you are. You are where you are doing what you're doing. And you're either in Christ or you're not. And people think it's hard to serve the Lord. If you feel that way, it only shows you've not laid down your life. You've not crucified your flesh. Because a dead man is freed from sin. Sin has no more dominion over him. Where the resurrection life will take you out of death.